everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. And on this week's show, later, we're going to be catching up with Glossop North End and their community club, as they've got big plans to help develop a much-needed revamp of their facilities at Cemetery Road. But before that, let's go to Lincoln United, because the Trident Community Foundation launched in December, and Lincoln United have announced that they've been successful in securing funding to expand what it already currently does in the community. And for more on this, down the other end of the phone now, we should be joined by Director of Football at Lincoln United. It's a welcome to the show to Chris Funnell. Well, Chris, a big thank you for joining us. And this is great news, and a big congratulations on this grant application. What does all this mean for the club?
Yes, so for those that don't know, really, the board at Lincoln United has been in, I think it was a year yesterday. So the board, we're relatively new. We came across from another club within Lincoln, and as part of that, we wanted to make Lincoln United a proper community club, really, where I played for Lincoln United as an adult player, and it's always notoriously been the men's first team and maybe the odd under 18 team with a reserve team, and that's sort of pretty much been it, and it's been run really, really well. But as we came involved, it was just predominantly the men's first team. There was no link with any junior size. There was no men's reserve team that was actually part of the club. So our ambition really was to sort of forge links back with the community and make it a proper community club. And ultimately, we want to develop our own players for our own first teams. We want people to look at Lincoln United and say, that's the best community football club around here. There's a pathway for my child, whether they want to play to under 16s or whether they want to go and play through to adult football. If they're not good enough for first team levels, there's another opportunity for them at adult level, or there's an opportunity for them to just go and turn up and play in terms of generating pathways for juniors through to our first team. So it is exciting. It gives people a focus, and it gives us an ethos and an identity in terms of what we really buy into and believe in, really, that we want to generate and develop the best players for Lincoln United from Lincoln United. On top of that as well, walking football is massive now. So again, this funding that we've been successful in getting is going to allow us to work with local partners like Age UK to generate a walking football session for 50 plus and 60 plus people, disability football. So, you know, it's all around, actually, the way Lincoln United is going to thrive as a whole football club is to engage that community and just be more than a men's first team. And the last 12 months has shown that, really. And the Trident Community Fund, which we've been successful in doing, is going to allow us to do that. So we've got a women's team, we've got numerous junior teams, but this is going to allow us to continue to grow that, expand that, and really give anyone within the local community of Lincoln United an opportunity to play for the football club, whether that's in competitive fixtures or whether it's in recreational sessions. So, yeah, we're looking to expand our women's game, whether it's, like I said, recreational sessions for people who don't want to commit, you know, season-long things, or whether it's starting up a new women's reserve team, new junior girls teams, disability football, walking football. So yeah, it's really fantastic and welcome news, and really positive for us given obviously the season that football's had, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible news, really. I mean, you're the manager of the women's side of the club, but this means you're going to get a development team, but also about these sessions that's going to take place as well. Taster sessions, essentially, for women players from all ages to get involved, even if it's on a part-time basis.
Yes, so we're really keen at the football club to basically be able to offer, we want to generate a women's pathway at Lincoln United, and that's from girls ages 5 and 6 when they're first getting into football all the way through to the women's first team. We want to offer girls an opportunity to play for Lincoln United, whether that is in junior girls teams that play regularly or monthly in festivals and actually play affiliated competition, or whether it's a turn up and play session. People that may not think football is for them on a regular basis, weekly thing, don't really want the competition element, but do want to turn up with friends and play football. That's what we're looking to implement here. And we've had something out in the last week, actually, since we were aware that we'd been successful, something called Lynx Ladies Play, which ties in with our local national governing body. It's an initiative that we tied in with the community, Trident Community Foundation funding. And since that, we've had 31 women actually log in and register their interest in terms of turn up to our first session. None of those players are currently playing football either within Lincoln United or within other local clubs. So for us to engage 31 new women into the sport or back into the sport is absolutely fantastic, and everything that we're looking to achieve, really. on the smaller side of things as well, we're going to reinvigorate our Wildcats, which is recreational for 5 to 11. So again, those girls who are just starting out in football might not want to play regularly, but an opportunity to come down on a Saturday morning, nice and relaxed environment, fun, safe environment for people to play in. And we're going to try and have those two sessions sort of side by side, really. So it'd be a Wildcats mums and Lynx ladies play session on one half of the 3G and Wildcats on the other side. So an opportunity for those younger girls to see the older girls still playing if affiliated football is not necessarily for them.
And fingers crossed as well, because we're obviously at time of recording, we're recording this in mid-March. The first session of that Lynx ladies play is scheduled for Saturday the 24th of April. I mean, given the direction of travel at the moment, there's a good chance that that's going to be on, so fingers crossed. But we should say as well, I mean, this is one of the Trident Community Foundation launched in December, and you know this money that's coming here for Lincoln United to be able to grow what it was already doing. I mean, how important is this funding that's coming to the club here?
It's massive, really. So if you're taking as an example, that funding is going to go towards the growth of recreational sessions. So if we just go women's recreational at both adult and junior, a walking football session to start up and a disability session to start up. So if we weren't able to do this fund, it does somewhat restrict you, because obviously there's initial outlay. You've got to advertise it properly. You've got to get coaches in to make sure it's running properly, or activators to make sure the sessions are running. You've got to book facilities. And with that, there is naturally always a cost. Obviously the ambition for Lincoln United is to make those sessions sustainable post the funding, so the funding that we're going to receive and other clubs have been successful in receiving to start up these initiatives is fantastic, really, and you can't really put into words how important it is for football clubs, especially given the times that we're in, and for clubs like Lincoln United at non-league level, it's huge.
And we should say, I mean, it's being matched as well with further investments from the existing board and that kind of thing as well.
Yeah, so obviously I mentioned at the start of the interview that we are a relatively new board. We've been in a year since being in. We've heavily invested into the football club and into the stadia to ensure that we meet our ground grading, to make sure that the team can continue to play at step four within the Northern Premier League, and two, to make sure that the experience for the people coming through the gate is better, because obviously we spoke about the juniors and being a bit more of a family environment, a bit more community led. So for example, we've had brand new floodlights in, we've revamped the electrics within the building, we've had some pest control sorted out on our main stand, believe it or not, pigeons causing all sorts of mess in around the main area where people would sit. So that's all been sorted. We've had brand new changing room floors put in, and we've just had a application put into the Football Foundation for an underground sprinkler irrigation system. So, you know, we're all trying to head in the right direction and make sure that the environment and the community aspect and the engagement for everyone that comes down to Ashby Avenue, whether you're a player, you're a coach or a volunteer or a fan, it's as good as it can be. And this funding from the Community Trident Foundation is just another step for us to continue heading in the right direction, really.
Oh, it sounds really exciting. And just before we go, you need to get your promotion hat on now, and because there's a lot of things to plug when we do get back to having a green light to train and have these taster sessions and that kind of thing. So if you're a kid or a woman footballer listening to this, wanting to get involved, how can you get involved and find out more?
Yeah, the best place would be to look at our social media accounts, so Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. So each element of the club has got their own Facebook page, got their own Twitter account. So if you're a woman, it'd be Lincoln United Women FC. A junior would be Lincoln United Juniors FC, and men, obviously, Lincoln United Football Club. That's done for the reason so that every element and section of the club gets their own news presented, and it's not all mixed and matched, and people can actually see what's going on in certain elements. So the best place would be our social media accounts, our website. Everything that we do, everything that we're promoting is on there, along with details on how to register, how to sign up to events, how to sign up to sessions, contacts of relevant committee members that you can, you know, email if you want some more information. So everything's on our social media and on our website, really.
Director of Football at Lincoln United, Chris Funnell there, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. And that development there of the club takes us to Glossop North End, and their community club has set a challenge for 2021 to raise an initial £95,000 in funds to help develop a much-needed revamp of their facilities at Cemetery Road. And for more on this now, we should be joined down the other end of the phone by Chairman of Glossop North End Community Club. It's Dave Rowlinson. Well, Dave, a big thank you for joining us. And these plans for the community arm of Glossop North End, it's really, really exciting. Tell us a bit more about how the club's developing football in the town of Glossop.
Absolutely. So what's happened primarily over the last few years, we've been training a school site. We've not had our own home for the junior and the ladies section. The seniors obviously have got theirs at Surrey Street. But those pitches have been really poor. So last year alone, we lost 85 to 90 games due to the weather and poor condition of the pitches. It's got poor car parking provision. And for anyone that's been to the Cemetery Road site, a dilapidated clubhouse, it's got no hot water and huge cracks. It's actually being held together by scaffolding poles at the minute. And this is a club that the junior section has got over 500 members, 38 teams. We've been established since 1989 and 70 volunteer coaches. We provide football from age three upwards, boys and girls teams up to under 21s. Got men's veterans teams, ladies, mums just play, pan disability, junior and senior, and our ability count sessions. So we're one of the largest clubs in the Northwest, and to have a facility like that has been so disappointing. And we've been trying to work on this for over 4 years. But now we're sort of coming to fruition, so we're really, really excited.
I was going to say, I mean, it's quite remarkable given the logistics and the difficulties the club faces that you've got so many members and so many players participating on a weekly basis. And the fundraising campaign started a month or so ago. How's that been progressing?
Really, really well. I mean, what's happened, we launched a crowdfunding campaign. I mean, we couldn't have picked a worse time, to be honest. We're not seeing anybody. There's no football training, no games going on. So communicating the story to the parents and the players and the wider Glossop community has been really, really difficult. But I have to say, the teams have been absolutely brilliant. So what they've been doing is they've been doing sponsored runs. We've had quizzes. We've had auctions. We've been got teams doing litter pickups in the town. We've been doing ball dribbling challenges. We're doing touches of the ball, all to raise money. So when I looked earlier today, we're about 35,000. Now that's in addition to the 70-odd thousand plus that we raised last year. So as members, to raise over £100,000 in just 18 months is a phenomenal amount of money and goes to show really the support we've got from our members and people understanding why we need the facility. And just to be clear, it's not just about football. There are other sports that are going to be using it as well. So that's why it's a community hub. So our local rugby club, running clubs, cycling clubs, Be Well, which is a local community group, they're looking to do walking football, walking netball, walking hockey, walking rugby. So it's not just benefiting Glossop North End. It's going to benefit the whole community. And that's why we've had support from our local councils, the county council, the local borough council, and Sport England, and ultimately Football Foundation, who have backed this project from the very start. So not just for us, to be clear, it's a legacy for the whole town, the whole area, and the club and our members.
And for those unaware, I mean, the Cemetery Road site that we're talking about here, it's slap bang pretty much right in between Glossop and Hadfield as well, isn't it? So it's geography-wise, it's bringing in participants from across the area, really, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, and what it will do, I mean, we at the minute train at two sites. We train at Alder Community High School and Glossop Dale School. So we're going to bring the majority of our training sessions to our new site to train the new 3G. What that does do, though, it allows other footballing teams to develop themselves through the slots that we vacate. So teams like Tin Twistles, Hollingworth, Hattersley, Stalybridge, all the junior sides associated with them, along with local teams like Glossop Wasps and AFC Hadfield, all those are going to benefit because they're going to have training slots closer to home. And it means that football as a whole in the area is going to develop and it's going to be good for everybody.
And that takes us, obviously, you know, it's about developing pathways, isn't it, for kids and for boys and girls. It's just opening up the possibilities, isn't it, for future generations.
Yeah, it just means we've got a home where we can then sort of offer more football to more groups of people. So the Pan Disability, we'll be able to do more sessions with them. We'll be able to do men's veterans teams. We've already got one team, but there's no reason why we can't do two or three. The ladies section at the minute is just is called Just Play, and it's where mums can turn up and have sessions. But the ladies team, we're looking to reform that. We've got people who want to run the team. And if we've got a 3G, it means that they're going to be able to play games on there, train on there. We're looking to get involved with a small-sided football league that'll be able to do recreational football on a Sunday evening. We're talking to a local school. We're talking to a football club community trust. We've got a professional club that want to have sessions there. I think what's happened is Glossopdale School has been a victim of its own success. It's been really, really busy and it's got no slots available. So by having a second facility in the town, it means that more people and more clubs will be able to develop and more people playing sport and football in particular.
Oh, brilliant stuff. And obviously, you know, given the backdrop at the moment, Dave, with COVID, obviously it's affected senior football, but it's also affected junior football as well. And how's it impacted the club more generally?
Hugely. I mean, we understand the implications and what's happened and understand the decisions that governments and Football Association have made. But I'm now seeing the last few weeks, the impact on our members, on a lot of the children, and also on the coaches, because at the end of the day, coaches like getting out and coaching people, and to be stuck at home and not being able to do it for effectively 12 months, it's had a real big impact in terms of we're concerned what people's views will be when they do return. Are they all going to return? Do they want to carry on playing football? And I think there's got to be some real sort of intervention from the government and the FA. What's frustrating is that 3 weeks ago we were told that the return to football was due in a couple of weeks' time, and we've still really not had anything from the FA to say what's going on, whether we can train, what age groups can train, what will matches look like. And at the end of the day, we've got 38 teams that we have to organise. So the training and the games, somebody's going to have to sit there and work out, given what instructions are going to be given, how that's going to look. And I think that the work that our volunteers have to do is sometimes it's not understood the amount that people have to put in and say, we're still waiting now. So hopefully the FA will report back in the next few days. What I don't want to see is it come out 2 or 3 days before we're due to start, because it just means it's going to be a nightmare for our volunteers to understand what's being asked of them and what it's going to mean going forward as well. But fingers crossed, we're going to be back and get some games played and start seeing a bit of smiles on kids' faces and a bit of fun and laughter on our venues and training venues. So fingers crossed.
Because that's what we're talking about here with this new community facility. I mean, like you say, the fundraising did a bit last year. The fundraising campaign for this year has started as well. What are the next steps then, and how can people get involved?
Well, there's quite a few ways you can get involved. What we're doing is we're at the last leg, in particular on the fundraising. We are so close now. We're probably about 20 grand short on a £1.7 million project. So we are so close to making this happen for the club and the town. We've got various other fundraising initiatives that we're going to be doing over the next few weeks. We're hoping, fingers crossed, for a start on site in June this year. And it should be ready for December to tie in with the atrocious weather that the site gets next year. So hopefully we're not going to miss too many games of football and have them postponed. But yeah, fundraising. One of the key things for us really is sponsorship. We've done this all ourselves in terms of generating that much funding. So we've had to do lots of applications. We've had to have lots of meetings. But to get so close on a £1.7 million project now, we just need that last little push to get this over the line. So any businesses that want to be involved, we are open to discussions. There's various sponsorship opportunities that are available. It could be just from a pitch side banner. So we're selling those at the moment. But there's various other opportunities available that we'd love to speak to people about. And hopefully just plug that last bit of gap and make sure that we start on time and all the money's there and everyone feels comfortable that it's going to be delivered. And we have an opening event December, January next year, fingers crossed. I think the key is every penny does count, and people have to remember that when they do give money, that it's going to provide a legacy, to provide a brand new sports hub for everybody. And it will be for thousands of people. The initial work that we did shows that in the first year, there'll be at least 50,000 people going through that site in year one. So that's a phenomenal amount of money. And you're investing in sport, in the town, in the area, in the club, and people for now and for the future.
Chairman of Glossop North End Community Club, Dave Rowlinson there, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. And that's it for this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. A big, big thank you to both Chris and Dave for joining me this week. Remember, for all the latest goings-on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website www.thenpl.co.uk. But I've been Ben, and you make sure that you all have a lovely weekend and stay safe. Bye-bye.